Hi, this is James Murray, artist, writer, editor, and channel for thestarsshowshine.com. You are listening to the Peaceful Planet song, synthesized from spirit, the mediumship of Robert Murray. Tune in every other Saturday to Peaceful Planet, live on BBS Radio Station 1 at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, to hear music from the angelic realms, fire tracks from The Half-Beat, John Lennon, George Harrison, Frank Duvall, and Mike on the band, and hear the wonderful messages of love and peace from Lady Diana, John Lennon, the Archangels, and our Ascended Masters. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge world teachers, and we share with you profound work like the Jesus Mysteries, the Ascension Series, and other divinely inspired messages and music, all in an effort to increase the vibration of love and peace on the planet. Thank you.
Good evening, wherever you are, and you're welcome to another wonderful episode on the Peaceful Planet Show. This is host Marcia McMahon, and you were just listening to the Peaceful Planet theme song, and we give a lot of credit to the Half Beats in Spirit and James Murray and Bob Murray at thestarsstillshine.com, and we are continuing our exploration of the Holy Grail Mysteries and the Return of the Goddess. And this evening, we're so delighted to present the teachings of Mary Magdalene as explored through the fine work of the Magdalene Version. And we have a wonderful guest with us this evening. Her name is Joanna Prentice, and she has co-authored three books with Stuart Wilson. And the book we're reviewing this evening is titled The Magdalene Version, the third in her series of books. The other two books were The Essenes, The Children of the Light, and the other book was called The Power of the Magdalene, and I've had the pleasure of having Joanna Prentice on the show before with Stuart. Stuart wasn't available, so we're just talking to Joanna, and it promises to be never-before-revealed ancient teachings of Mary Magdalene and Jesus. So, we're so thrilled to have you on, and this book is published with Dolores Cannon. And are you there with me, Joanna? And how
yes,
are you
I
this
am.
Evening?
I'm fine, and thank you so much for bringing me on your show. I very much appreciate you inviting me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you. And if you don't mind, before we go forward, I'd like to call in the energy of Mary Magdalene and the angels. Is that all right?
Yes, I'm totally with that.
Yes, I knew you would be. So we call upon the goddess energy of the divine feminine and all the angels that have helped us to assemble and reassemble as the Essene community. And we ask that Jeshua and Mary Magdalene would overlight this program and shed more truth on the hidden mysteries of the Grail series that we're doing, and particularly give energy and insight and loving healing to everyone listening this afternoon or this evening. And before we go too much further, I have a few announcements, and then I'm going to have Joanna introduce herself. So if you'll bear with me, I have a few announcements about some of the things that I've got going now. I'm holding an Angel Awakening in May, which is connecting to the angels, and it's going to be sometime on a Sunday in May, and you can get with me at my website at Diana Speaks to the World and look at classes, and it will be both an online class and connecting to angels and Reiki, and then it's also an on-ground class here in Central Illinois. And also, I would like to mention my newly released book, Princess Diana's Message of Peace. And Princess Diana is among the members of the Divine Feminine that overlight our show. And this is an original copy of the book that was out of print and back in reprinted form. And it's titled Princess Diana's Message of Peace, publication date 2017. So those are two important things that I wanted to touch on before we get into our wonderful guest, Joanna Prentice. So we're going to let Joanna tell you a little bit about her background, and she's a wonderful person whom I've worked with and had the honor of having on my show many times, and this is the third time. So three is the trinity, the trilogy, and you have a trilogy of books. So please welcome Joanna Prentice. And Joanna, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to into this magnificent knowledge about Mary Magdalene.
What if I start with that I actually was born in southern India, a place called Bangalore, and then just before my third birthday, we returned to Scotland. Then I had 10 years in Australia, during which time I was teaching in the Montessori school, and it is my knowledge that Maria Montessori was an Essene herself, and therefore it was a very Essene way of speaking. Teaching. I have certificates in various healing modalities and diploma in humanistic psychology and training in past life therapy. With my daughter Tanya, we ran a healing center for expansion of consciousness and healing for about 9-10 years. And then we got involved in writing books because we had such an interesting story to tell, and we had a spokesperson from the Essene Brother overlighting us, and he said that it was time that the truth was told, and would we write a book, and basically that the people would come to us. So that one of our members, just before Easter, went into major memories of being in a scene, and that was the start of it. And we had a group surrounding it, and then it triggered. This actually is new knowledge, and there was a group around of us that were coming into our center, and they didn't know we were writing a book, so that each person that came in, they told their own individual story, not, so they weren't affected by what other people had said. And
so these were independent regressions or memories that began in the Easter time, which we are in the Easter time right now.
I think about that just before we started tonight. Yes, it was sort of independent over a period of time. This was 1992. We had a Stargate, which people used to go under, and sometimes people would spontaneously go into memories under Stargate. Sometimes people would just come into past life to do past life therapies with me. And once we had a lady called Martha who arrived on my doorstep at about it was later than that, about 7 in the morning, and she said, I keep having all these memories of being with Jesha and everything, and I don't really know what to do about it. But I knew I had to come to you. I said, that's fine. I'm half expecting you. Just come in, lie down, I'll put the recorder on, and we'll go from there. And that's
exactly
what happened.
What was that like? She was remembering her memories with Jeshua?
Yes, she was, yes. Obviously, I can't recall exactly what she said at that time because this was 1992, but it was just amazing how people came into us. Because I have had a few people thinking that I kind of like put out in the net that I was looking for subjects for life with Jeshua. Mary Magdalene's energy came later. That came after, the power of the Magdalene started, people contacted us after the first book, and then we were told that the female disciples would come in, and they did. Some of them would know that we were writing a book, others didn't, and then so on and so forth, and then eventually...
You know, It's fascinating how the quilt was beginning to be made back in the 90s even. And it's fascinating, too, that you talk about the group energies, because I've worked with a group in the St. Louis area, and I have similar stories to relate where people would come to me for past life regression, and then it would be like there would be another piece of the puzzle. So, you know, I completely relate because I was in a zine, too, as you know, and so it's very interesting, the corollary in how it unfolded. But you were pretty much pioneers in this, because this is previously unknown knowledge. So, you know, if I could ask you, you know, the Bible illuminates many aspects of the story of Jesus, and there are various theories about, you know, what really happened at the crucifixion and the resurrection and the many aspects of his ministry. And it does leave out the missing years and what may have happened to Jesus in the missing years of his early life. And also there's been some new light that you and Stuart have shed with your two previous books on the so-called resurrection or the healing of Jeshua. And, of course, his full name would have been Jeshua ben Joseph, and mm-hmm. Miriam would have been Miriam of Magdala. And so all of these characters are multifaceted, aren't they? So what did you find in your research about the crucifixion, the resurrection, and also following that, the teaching of Mary Magdalene? I know this is a very loaded question, because there's so many varieties of answers, but if you could shed a little bit of light on what may have happened on those very sad days in Jeshua's life.
Right. I just want to first by saying is that what I understand is that people only take on what they feel is truth for them. And my understandings have come from working with people and my own understandings. So, you know, it's quite an open question. I just want to say very briefly, in the early years, Jeje went round all the esoteric centers around the world, not so much really for training, but remembering. And one of the places he went to was India, and actually also UK. And actually, I think after the crucifixion, he went to America, because I've heard people say that. So
that's quite possible. It's in the Mormon teaching, too. And I agree that he had to have gone to India, because following your interview that I did with you and Stuart back in 2008, the following guest the following week was this Ed Martin, who proposed the same theory that Jesus somehow survived the crucifixion or was resurrected, as you would wish to see it, and then he traveled back to India. But there are ancient records of him being in India. So it's interesting that you were born in India, and you've got that perspective too. So how did this all unfold? What about the memories in India?
Also, going back to group memories, I understand mm-hmm. the aspects of many of the people that were there at scenes at the time, and there's various groups like yours, Martha, in America, and I know of ones in Australia and New Zealand who were also having memories, but I discovered this much later. Anyway, so going back to the question of our understanding of our group, and this is what we learnt from the different people that went into regression or remembered, but they were not aware of what the other folks in our group were remembering. So our understanding was that Jeje, one of the things, because of his training in India, he knew how to, well, if you think of Indians, they can go on bed of nails and not come to any harm. So mm-hmm. he'd learned techniques in India, because he knew before what was going to happen, and just a very few members of the core group. So mm-hmm. though it was all the scenes gathered, and they were told to send energy to him on the cross to sustain him. And my understanding is from learning from my group is that the soldier that was supposed to spare him to make sure that he was dead, he was already a follower of Joshua. So he just put in the spear, so it grazed him. The body was taken down very quickly.
Yes.
And Joseph of Arimathea had taken him to a place. He'd built a place in his garden, a cave,
where
an entrance in from his garden. Anyhow, Joshua was taken down from the cross in a very bad way, but then he was taken into this cave, and a team of healers came down and healed him, and he came through. Now, I think it's a bit in dispute whether he actually then came back fully into his body or possibly was a high aspect of himself. I'm not terribly sure about that, but certainly he recovered sufficiently, and he had to go on to India to carry on teaching there in India with the gurus. But now most of the scenes didn't know this because they had to keep it secret, because if the Romans or people who were after Joshua, I've changed the name, after Joshua, he was a very marked man, so therefore the whole thing had to be done in great secrecy. And,
yes, exactly.
And I also understand one of the things that I've worked so many people with traumas about the crucifixion, because it's been held in cellular memory, and I realized that most of them thought that was, you know, he completely died or resurrected or whatever.
I was traumatized by seeing that. I was a female disciple that I saw at a distance, speaking from my past life memory, and it's traumatized me and many other people that I have worked with as well. And I totally confirm that seeing that happen, because as I understand it from your book, that didn't need to actually happen. And I know that the Christian theology would have you believe that he, you know, suffered, died, and rose to prove the resurrection, but actually there was another possibility that if the high priests in Judea would have been more open to his teaching, that tragedy might not have happened. What is your take on that? I know it was very traumatic to see it, and I totally get that, and I totally identify with that, because he was the world's greatest teacher, you know, at least in my book.
I think it was a very close-run thing, and I think that though there was a lot of pre-planning beforehand, I think there were options. Like, you know, in our life, we come to a crossroads, and
right.
I think, certainly even the core group that was in, it was very, very tense, and they weren't sure that he would survive. But also, quite apart from the Romans who were after him, the Sanhedrin, who I don't know whether he was head, but he was one of the major officials there, they sort of thought this, you know, they would have been after him, because it was going against their sort of belief system, and they had been kept in the dark that he was an Essene. So it wasn't just the Romans. There were an awful lot of people that were out to get him. And
yes,
I mean,
that
he
was
still
a terrible,
young man.
Terrible crime against him. And the Jewish religion has had kind of and the Roman rule had reached a nadir of lower energy consciousness that could no longer be sustained. So Jesus' teaching and Mary's teaching that she continued on for Jesus was really shedding great light on humanity. And as I'm saying this, I'm getting a big download of light. So is this this is what I took from your book, that Mary was to actually be the primary teacher and the conveyor of the light of Joshua's teachings.
Well, if I turn that question around a little bit and say, well, what did Jesus and Mary come to do? And my
yes.
understanding is that Joshua anchored the energy of love into the matrix of the earth, so the Christ energy was accessible for change and transformation into people's lives. And Mary Magdalene helped him to do this. Their combined service is to humanity should be honored as such.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put. And what a download.
That's quoted from
light.
My book.
Well, I'm getting
That's
a download, a big download of light, because Jeshua really couldn't have gone through the crucifixion alone without Mary holding the light for him and Mother Mary and
the
other
scenes.
Female disciples. Yes.
The saints were holding the light as well for him.
Yes. Mm. So,
and the angels. Forgot about the angels.
Absolutely. And the Essenes, and, you know, a lot of people that resonate with angels today and are doing channeling with the angels are actually, I've discovered, when they feel an angelic connection, they may have been an Essene. And that's why I continue to offer my angel classes. But I also feel that a lot of us are angelically all connected, and there's this big web that you've discovered all over the world through your published works, that there are other Essenes in other countries, and you were bringing people to your Starlight Center, weren't you? And
that's
then
right.
Grounding the energy of the stars, and so that's all very, very interesting. But getting back to our focus on Mary Magdalene, then she was, according to the Gnostic gospel and the tradition there, which she did write a gospel, it was gradually removed from the Bible. But if we could go back to Mary's role in the unfolding drama, the crucifixion and the resurrection or the travels to India, let's pick up on that thread. And what can you tell us about what happened next and where Mary went to teach, and whatever happened to her life story and Jesus's appearances around Britain and then India and all around, and, you know, just illumine us a little bit more in what's written in your regressions and how you came to this knowledge.
Well, Mary obviously had to get away in a big hurry.
Quite correct, yeah.
Joseph of Arimathea had his fleet of ships, and he had organized that they got away safely. But at the same time, they put out a rumor that they had been cast adrift in a boat with no rudder, and therefore had been lost at sea, so that then people didn't follow them. And I think a lot of people believe that. Anyway, they did get away. They did go through the, I think they called it the Great Sea, and they arrived
Mediterranean.
On the shores. I think then they called it the Great Sea. And they arrived in the south of France, I believe in the Languedoc area, and Mary continued her teachings there. Now, I'm not sure whether Jesua actually came and visited her there, whether they then had more visits, because this ancient history that Mary came to England and Scotland, because we get into the whole question of whether there was bilocation going on, which I think there's somebody called Padre Pio now who bilocates, and there are a few people still in the world, which means
I believe it was probably bilocation based on my memories, which I've been researching, and I have a slightly different memory. I have a memory of Mary and I being in Egypt together after she had the child, and then being set adrift on a boat with no oars, and I have a feeling that that was more literal. But, you know, you're going to get different takes on different stories. But as I recall, we were set adrift, and we were set out to die because the Romans found us, and we were in Alexandria area, and she had given birth, and she had begun a following there, and then we had to escape and go north to France. Now, I know that somehow, as a female disciple, I ended up elsewhere in Britain, I feel. And I feel that she stayed in France. So as to her teachings then, she was pretty much in France, but this book is unique and different because it highlights, it's called the Magdalene Version, by the way, and everyone that wants a copy of this book, I highly recommend it. You will not be able to put it down. It's so captivating. So Mary highlights in this book, it's channeled through Ilario, pretty much, and also your past life research together. And it came to dovetail perfectly together then, didn't it?
I just want to go back and what you're saying. Yes, I think everybody has a different take on things, and I haven't heard your story before. I mean, obviously, my knowledge has come about through the people I've regressed, plus my own memories. And it is quite possible that the female's disciples might have gone, or some of them, and Mary Magdalene, might have gone back to Egypt before setting sail for Britain, because after all, Mary Magdalene had all those teachings in Egypt before
she then met
up and did her you know, ministry with Joshua. So, you know, there's a lot of possibilities here.
Yes, and thank you for being open, because we are going to have varied stories, and it's the whole tapestry of, well, what we're working with is the Akashic records, and also the angels overlighting our Akashic work, and also the past life memories. But we're talking about your story, so go on then, when Mary lands in France, and then what happens, and how she came to write these magnificent versions of her teaching, which, well, I do believe that the Coptic Gospel illuminates Mary Magdalene's experiences with Jesus while she was on the earth plane with him. And then I also believe that there were disciples that followed along with Mary to France. Don't you get that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think also there were relatives of Joseph of Arimathea and his family, and of Anna, the grandmother of Joshua. I think they had a lot of relatives all over the place. So you were saying...
So we were connecting into her France,
yes,
and what she did in France.
Yes, but also what our book has brought to light, the last of the trilogy, is that Joseph of Arimathea had a big... estate in Cyprus, and so yearly Mary Magdalene and disciples from around the rest of the world used to go to the island in Cyprus to Joseph of Arimathea's house, and she would give almost what we'd call today probably workshops, but she'd give talks and summaries and teachings in Cyprus, and people would come from, as I say, all around the world. One of the most powerful sessions we had was, I can't remember now how long the summaries went on for, but her final summary, I had somebody called Pete come in, and he remembered the farewell and final summary, and the energy in the room when he was bringing these teachings through was just absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing. And I don't know how we're doing for time, but what she said...
We're fine on time.
We're fine.
We still
right.
have about 20 right. minutes left,
okay.
if not more.
Because I would really like to read from our book.
Would you? That would be so wonderful.
Yes.
I'd love
to
hear
Just tell me when we're coming near the end of time so I can then read that book, because it's just so wonderful what she wrote.
Yes, and we will allow you time to share that at the end. Mm. So I think I remember when reviewing your book recently that there were about 10 summers that she taught on Cyprus.
Yes.
So Joseph would have made this, and it all had to have been done in secret. And there had to have been a secret way of communicating amongst the disciples and the Essenes, or the early Christians. It's interchangeable, early Christians / Essene, and the new followers. But I wonder, were Peter or Paul ever there, or were they mostly just the way people? Mary taught the way, and her disciples were distinctly different, as I understand it, from the male disciples. If you could illumine that a little bit for us.
Right, so we're coming to the inner and the outer church.
Right.
And the outer church would be spread by the male disciples, led by Peter. And these
Correct.
Would be the outer teachings. And the inner teachings would be taught by Mary Magdalene and her group. Mary saw the two teaching arms as mutually supportive, as the outer group
Correct.
Would be open and public and deflect attention away from the inner group, which needed a quieter environment due to the subtle work along esoteric and Gnostic lines. Unfortunately, that was the intent, but my understanding is that it didn't actually work out like that, because after the crucifixion, the scenes got very scattered, the disciples got scattered. I don't know the full histories of what happened to the different disciples. And because basically it was a very male-orientated society.
Patriarchal, exactly.
Yes. Therefore, the teachings very much came through the male line, though quietly the females were busy in a way of keeping things alive. But what we've had in the Bible come down is really the male teachings. All the female gospels were left out, sadly. And I think
yes,
that what's happening
I know
nowadays,
the history of that. Basically, they were buried in the sands in Egypt by the Holy Fathers that kept the tradition of Mary Magdalene's presence in Egypt there, and that's where they were found in the Nag Hammadi scrolls. So it was only discovered in this 20th century and brought to light. And there's fragmentary references of Mary to Jesus and their intimate relationship and some of the other disciples. But if they would have published their works, they could have been put to death for their so-called heresy. But actually,
absolutely,
I don't think Mary was really, she was really a Gnostic per se, although she's considered among the Gnostic Gospels, because her understanding of the female nature of God and God-Goddess, she was actually exemplifying, and I think Jeshua, I got the impression from reading your book and my understandings too, that Jeshua was appointing her as his chiefest disciple, and that there was a schism between her and Peter that caused Peter to then take over the outer church. And only if you could describe the healing methods of Mary Magdalene and the intuitive skills that would have been needed to be developed if you were a member of her inner way teachings and mystery school, if you could go into the feminine qualities of the mysteries, that would be great.
Well, we've got two strands here, because obviously a lot of the female disciples had training in Alexandria and in Egypt in the esoteric arts, which is one level. And Mary Magdalene grew to be a high priestess, so therefore was completely Jesuit's counterpart, is that the word I want? They were very much equal.
Counterpart, yeah.
Got the right, good. But basically, in a generalized way, Mary and a lot of the female disciples, that it was in herbs, it was in crystals, it was in ointments, and they used clay, and they used sand.
Exactly.
And when Jesua was talking to a crowd, Mary said nothing, but she was a vital part in the process, since her vibrational vortex linked with Jesua's and provided a complete communication system that the communication carried in words, energy, and mudras. Mudras being little hand, well, no, they can be quite big hand signs. So even if you were deaf or blind, the energy of the two combined transformational vortexes could reach you and change your life forever.
Oh, that is so magnificent. So they actually created a vortex of energies that were geometrically perfect. And I get a picture of the sacred geometry, if you will, of this happening. And I remember him on the Sermon of the Mount and how he used his hands quite a bit. And Mary would have been there receiving this information. So she would have been there to compliment him and hold the light. But the way you describe it is so eloquent and beautiful. And so the angels could actually see this light vortex from the galaxy, it's described in your book.
Yes, I believe
wow.
So. Obviously, I don't remember everything in detail because it's quite a big book. I know there's another very good passage at somewhere about, which I think you remember, Marcia, about holding the, was it the vortex? I know that when he was in the crowd, he looked just a bit above the crowd, and then he sent energy to that, which then came down to the crowd. But I think you've remembered a different part of that story. You know, when he was healing in the crowds?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I do recall when he was healing in the crowds. Yes, very much so. And I remember him. They were bringing the children up to him, and then he would work with the energy of the sun, so I understand. But I remember seeing him, and they would place the children on a bench, and he would hold the child in the palm of his hands, and he would send healing to that child, and the mothers and the fathers would just be weeping for joy. And then there would be the disbelievers in the crowd always that would scorn him for that. I mean, it was just so unbelievable. But yes, I liked your description with the sacred geometry and the patterns of light that were being conveyed through his teaching. But he always healed before he did his teaching, because the healings were what drew the crowds, you know, as I recall. But anyway, it's just magnificent to think about his beautiful energy, and being in the energy of Jeshua and Mary together, as we are this evening. It's just so wonderful to remember the memories. But talk a little bit, so you're talking a little bit about the divine feminine aspects and their gifts with the healing, and all of these would have combined to heal others, and they went and continued to heal people, and then it sort of died out. But I think Jeshua initiated a lot of people into the finer arts of healing, and even it's recounted in various Gospels, in the straightforward text of the Gospels, that Peter was able to heal and some of the other disciples were able to heal. And I certainly remember certain aspects of my healing in that lifetime. But Mary was a powerful healer. But so her divine feminine teachings, what she covered in the summaries, were so advanced, way advanced for the time. So they were kept secret for all this time, and it's been practically lost to humanity. But if you could shed some light on the key aspects, the kernels of truth of Mary's healing and teaching, I think our audience would love to hear some of these versions of her summaries.
Oh, right. So is it the point in time that I should read that wonderful farewell speech?
Well, not quite, because we still have about 10 more minutes, maybe 15 more minutes left. So I was just wondering if you could illuminate some of the summaries that were taught, you know, the Father, Mother, God, the Christ energy. I'm picking up on page 105 here.
I can
read it from Ilarial on page 105 if you would like to read that to us.
Okay, thank you, because I've got my notebook in front of me. Obviously, I'm talking from a bird's eye view at the moment, because I couldn't possibly remember the whole book. So there was a commentary by Ilarial, the spokesman from the Angelics, that overlighted Stuart. Were you thinking about that one?
Yes. Ilarial is the main angel that works with Stuart and illumines these hidden teachings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ilarial was actually a spokesperson for a group of angels, so he had a whole angelic tribe, as it were, behind him.
Oh, cool.
Right. So, yes, what... the Christ is energy, the Christ is teacher, the Christ is consciousness. The nature of oneness is light, creation flows from light. Right. The concept of Father, Mother, God would have horrified the Pharisees, but the Essenes were quite familiar with it. Indeed, you could argue that the whole Essene philosophy was based upon the concept of the Heavenly Father and Earthly Mother. One should always bear in mind that many of those who joined Gnostic groups at this period came from an Essene background. There's the thing, the connection with the Essenes and the Gnostics, or had sympathy with the Essene view of things. If they had grown up with these ideas in an Essene family, they would be quite comfortable with them. And in this Magdalene summary, we get the full flavor of Mary's teaching skill from the very beginning. Her style of presentation is direct, practical, and full of information, and she is not afraid to soar up into uplifting and inspirational statements. So to be both practical and inspirational is a rare and wonderful combination, and the secret of her power as a communicator. Yes, I mean, the scenes very much acknowledge the role that women played in their society. They were just totally different from the society in which they lived. And going back to Peter, Peter was very much chosen to be the foundation of Jojo's world because he was very, very practical and he could communicate and work with the ordinary sort of people of the day. Whereas obviously Mary Magdalene was very much of the high priestess, but also she had a practicality as well with her. She had a group of female disciples around her, and they would meet, and a lot of them had been actually at the mystery schools in Egypt with her, and they would meet, and they would, you know, gather in a circle, and they would start to breathe as one and work as one.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Peter was, because he was a man and he saw Mary Magdalene being favored by Joshua, he sadly, you know, got a little bit jealous about it because obviously he thought he was the man, therefore he should be the leader. So he didn't like the position that Mary Magdalene held with Joshua, which you can understand when you think you're living in a patriarchal society.
Yes, but it was very important that this revelation come to light now in light of the fact that we're moving from the third dimension into a higher dimension of consciousness, possibly into the fifth dimension, and we may be approaching the so-called end of time as we know it. So therefore, for those of us that remember walking with Joshua and doing past life research and the channeling of the angels becomes an even more important factor, because I believe that before we transcend the third dimension altogether, that the divine feminine needs time to flower on this earth, because frankly, Mary Magdalene's teachings are so brilliant and so illumined, and I think we're ready finally to hear them. What's your take on the grounding of the divine feminine and these times that we're in now, troubled though they may be?
I think it's really, really important because it is time that we balance the male and female energies, and that's what I understand Mary Magdalene has come is coming at this time to do, because obviously the male needs to recognize some of his female attributes, and the so that the energies get balanced, and realizing that the two working together are much better. And actually, it's now being seen, like, I mean, if you go into the bank in this country, when I was young, all the bankers were male. Now you've got actually probably more females working in a bank than a male. But just before we went on air, I found a wonderful little passage from Ilaria, sort of towards the end of the book, which actually says a lot about what you've just been saying.
Oh, please do read it.
Yeah. Now, 2,000 years have passed, and your planet has reached the end of a planetary cycle. And at this point, there is a gathering and concentrating of energies of time. When a planet goes into transition, the most intense spiritual energies generated on that planet at any time in its history return and come into focus again to reprise that achievement. You may think of it as a celebration of the past peaks of human achievement, but this also has a practical purpose. It assists humanity in assessing the higher spiritual levels of which it is capable, levels which are invaluable when entering a global process of transformation and ascension. I mean, Jez always used to preach that, you know, we would have great, I haven't got them yet, but we would, as a group, have greater skills than he had, which, I mean, at the moment sort of seems unbelievable, but there are some people walking the earth with incredible skills. Anyhow, to carry on, in the case of
the healing, the Reiki, the angels,
the reconnective healing, exactly.
All this is coming about. Yeah.
The other thing, too, that I must mention is that Mary Magdalene at the moment is calling on so many people, male and female, and so many people having the appearance of Mary Magdalene and the words of Mary Magdalene come through to them. It certainly happened with Jojo, and Jojo is still calling, you know, waking up people. I mean, the two of them are working together, but in this instance, in our case, it was Jojo first and Mary Magdalene a bit later. Anyway, in the case of planet Earth, the energies of Jojo and Mary Magdalene are now returning, that's what I'm just about to say, in all their original intensity, which is why it is so much easier for the souls who experienced these energies 2,000 years ago to access them again. That is why the teachings of Mary Magdalene are now being returned to you. The teachings of Jojo may have been misinterpreted, but they were never lost. Yet the earth has not heard the real voice of Mary Magdalene for 2,000 years. And it is time for that voice and the wisdom it carries to go out into the world.
And it is indeed high time for that to be heard. Now, I have a brief channeling from Mary Magdalene.
Oh, wonderful.
And I know you also want to read your last farewell speech from her final summary. And this could go on and on. We'd like to invite you back to whenever you're free. You've done so much beautiful work today. This is Mary Magdalene, and I do channel Mary Magdalene. She's speaking on the forgiveness and her rose. She's talking about how the tradition was buried. This is the circle of the grail, and I am the one you call Mary Magdalene. We are now interconnected as a circle of the divine feminine. In the sacred circle of light, we unite in power. Many here today have done their work and have forgiven what seems to be impossible. The Master used to say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. And it is still true today. Your world is changing, and the divine feminine will finally have its say. I was an appointed disciple of the Master, an apostle of the Master, she says, and he did appoint me in charge of the mystery schools that were to go out to the outer school. It is quite different now, and there will be a powerful movement of the divine feminine to complement the divine in every way. And she goes on to say that those of you listening, I now anoint you as part of our sacred circle. I give you the rose of my heart, and I am standing with Mother Mary and Princess Diana and all the representatives of the divine feminine. And I would ask you to look more carefully into Marcia's angelic teachings and sessions and her retreat. I close by sending you my love and special rose from myself, Mother Mary, and Princess Diana. So they do work on the inner planes, but I know you have something equally lovely to read, so now is the time for you to read her final parting words from Mary some 2,000 years
ago. The churning that you brought through, I very much resonate with, and it's what
Thank you.
Of people are doing and saying around the world. And the forgiveness is very important. In one of the summaries, I didn't go into it, one of the things of Mary's teaching was of forgiveness. It was surrender. I haven't got it right in front of me, but yes, definitely forgiveness, which sometimes is very hard to do. But yes. Anyway, Mary Magdalene, this is her final speech.
Thank you
we
so much,
Diana. We are the ones who know the joy of love, the joy of union. We are the ones who know the true connection with one another. We are not separate. We recognize this connection as love. No words are needed here, and this love includes everything. Within this love, nothing is hidden, and there is nothing to hide. Here there are no boundaries, for we know that love is infinite. There is nothing that is not included within this love, and nothing extra is needed. Here we are aware of one another as pure light, pure love, pure consciousness. It is so easy to be love, to hold this energy. And I wonder why we would choose any other existence. We ask that others may know of this reality so that they too may choose love. And now we know that we must move into other realms that are not so full of love. Yet, if all is well, these too may be raised up into the light. There is so much beauty in the physical realm. Mother Earth is so beautiful. There's so much life here, and we are so deeply connected to Mother Earth as she is connected to Father Sun, our shining star. At a deep level of experience, all is one, and the sign of this oneness is the great gift of love that connects us all. It is so good to know that I have a spiritual family that walks with me, a family that knows the truth. With this family, I can be who I really am. It is so good to remember this time together, and when we go out into the world, we will carry the energy of love with us. When we all meet again, perhaps in other lives, wearing other faces, we will recognize this golden energy and know that we have connected again with the great family of love. So go out now into the world with courage and with joy, taking the energy of love with you, and let this energy spread out like golden ripples upon the whole world. And the whole world is blessed and unified. May love fill your hearts always, and may the angels bless you and guide you upon your path.
Wow, I'm just in her energy. Thank you so much, Joanna Prentice, for joining us. And the name of the book for our listeners is The Magdalene Version. It's available on Amazon and also on Ozark Mountain Publishing. And what a way to close out our show. And we will close out the show with something from Something of Gossamer Wings, inspired by George. And thank you all for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with another special guest on the Divine Feminine Mysteries. And please tell us how you are reachable on the Internet. You have a Yahoo group, right?
Yes. There's a very kind man called Brad Bruin who runs a Yahoo Essene family group. And his email is...
Well, that's okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
He's on Bunken 1, Bunken 1, the number 1, not the word 1, at SBC Global, global.net. And you can contact him either to join the Essene family group, or I can be got through him, or the other source of being able to get hold of me is through Ozark Mountain Press, our publishers, because we've had to close the website down because it's no longer really in line with, you know, what I'm doing now.
That's fine. So I'm going to look for that group on Yahoo. The Essene Family of Light is the name of the group on Yahoo.
No, it's just called it's the Yahoo Essene Family Group. It happened because people who read our books wanted to be put in contact with other people.
Brilliant.
I didn't have the time or energy to do it, so Brad Bruin came forward and he set this up.
Thank goodness.
So yes.
Thank you once again for all your wisdom and reading and the research that you and I both went through. I think it's been a beautiful show, and we are going to close out with Something for Gossamer Wings, inspired by George of the Halfbeats. And thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you so much, Joanna, for joining us. And many blessings of the Magdalene energies today. May all your life be blessed with her energy throughout the day. And all our listeners as well. Thank you again.
And thank you very much, Marcia, from me, and thank you very much for the listeners to this show, and I hope you'll follow Marcia's Grail series. That's what they're called, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you so much for that. It was a pleasure reuniting with you again, and I hope to speak to you again soon. All righty. Bye for now.
Bye, everybody.
Blessings of the angels. Bye-bye.